Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Daniel Reefer. There is so much to talk about today.
I told you Kentucky would win by 20, didn't I?
You did, and I thought that. As soon as I was like, man, Dan was right.
Yeah, I wasn't right the way I thought I was going to be right, though. Oh, my gosh.
No, but they did win by 20.
They did. You can focus on the positive, you can focus on the negative. We'll talk both. 381-1313 is the number to call.
As I walked out the door this morning, my husband, who's a Louisville fan, said, you know, you believe what we did yesterday? I said, hey, we scored 1 point less than you. All right?
That's right. They put up 63. Kentucky had 62. I got a text, I don't know, about somewhere in the first half. He's got to go. That was the text I got. Referring to Stoops,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I watched the game on DVR. We have had like repairs being done in different places in our house for like a month. Let's just take it. So the place is a wreck. Like, you've got, you know, drywall putty and just stuff that happens on the bathroom floors upstairs and downstairs. Our living room is sitting in our dining room because there's repairs being done to the living room ceiling. And so it's just been, you know, the whole floor is just like drywall dust. And so it's gritty, it's dirty, and it's been like that for a month now. So it's been driving us crazy. They finally put the last layer of paint on the downstairs bathroom and got it done. And we spent 4 hours cleaning the house yesterday. Whew! So I finished something, I don't know, around 5 o'clock, and then started watching the game. And I'm trying not to see anything
on Twitter,
on my phone or anything. And I look up and I see, he's got to go. Then my mom asked me something. I texted her. I said, watching the game on DVR. Been cleaning. She goes, you might be surprised. Just tell me the score. I mean, just tell me the score. Because I know exactly what you might be surprised means. I know what it means. But it's no big deal. It's all right.
And then Louisville completely.
I didn't get to see any of that.
Oh, you didn't?
I saw the highlights, of course.
You couldn't have. I mean, they were up 2 scores before Lee Corso had the Cardinal head back off. I mean, they were just a complete dismantling of what's a very good football team with a very good coach.
Yeah.
And they had no answer for Lamar Jackson. I mean, no answer. And well, I know you were staying off Twitter. I mean, to a man, everyone across the board is saying, should Kentucky just forfeit this game right now because Lamar Jackson will have 1,000 yards rushing and passing combined on them. I mean, he was spectacular.
And you know what? Florida State against Ole Miss? Ole Miss had them whipped. Florida State comes back and wins it. You see what Ole Miss did against Alabama yesterday?
Yeah.
Took them to the end. Yeah. So that team is really, really good.
Really, really good.
We'll talk more about Louisville in a minute. Focusing on Kentucky. Stephen Johnson.
Yes.
Kentucky has a quarterback now. We thought we saw the quarterback of the future in the first half against Southern Miss. He went MIA, and then he got hurt.
And we don't really know the extent of the injury, correct?
No.
Back.
Back injury. Went to the hospital.
Said he went to the hospital.
MRI scheduled for last night. My guess is we won't find out until Monday. But, you know, Drew Barker had turned it over. He had an interception against Southern Miss, 2 lost fumbles, 3 interceptions against Florida, and starts the game yesterday with an interception. 7 turnovers in 2 games in a drive, in a series. And then Stephen Johnson comes in, 0 turnovers, completes 17 of 22 passes for 310 yards and 3 touchdowns. No interceptions. Did I say that already? 51 yards rushing on 10 carries. 0 negative yards.
And I felt like when he did run the ball, it was in good spots. He made good decisions of when to do that.
Yeah. Like the read option.
Yeah.
Only other UK quarterback to throw for 300 yards within his first 2 career games was Jared Lorenzen against Louisville, 2000. So it's been 16 years since somebody's had kind of a, not a debut, but a, you know, an early start to his career. Johnson, here's, Johnson was, he was cool. He was calm. He was poised. He had that feisty attitude. Like, you remember when he got horse collared?
Yeah.
And his head bounced off the turf.
And they didn't call anything.
They didn't call anything.
Plain as day.
He popped up like nothing happened and was up like, that ain't nothing. Another play, he's going out of bounds, and he gets a little late shove out of bounds that was borderline late hit, but wasn't. It was one of those you would normally see someone go running almost to the wall, you know, momentum carrying. He puts on the brakes, stops, and jumps right back, running back, and almost lets the guy know, you didn't do anything. You haven't done anything to me.
Well, and it 100% looked like him and C.J. Conrad have been staying after practice, just the two of them.
Yeah. And then what about going in for the touchdown? He was trying to score, and he lowered that head?
Yeah.
You know, the knock on him all preseason camp, everything we'd heard was working on throwing the ball better. And I saw it with my own eyes in the limited practice I got to see, but there was a difference. You know, ball was sailing on him a little bit. Good grief, that pass to Jeff Bidette.
Yeah.
On the money. That was a Trent Dilfer dime, whatever he, you know, wants to call it thing. It,
well, was, and they talked about how, you know, slight of frame he was or is, but it doesn't seem to affect him.
Mm-mm.
Because he, like, on that drive where he tried to score the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was going right at people, bucking people.
Now, he does that against UK's SEC schedule about three games, you know, maybe.
It's probably after one game.
Hairline, you know, fracture to the rib and vertebrae out of place and that kind of thing. But should he be the starter?
Well, yeah, no. I think so. And, you know, to temper some enthusiasm, it was New Mexico State. But the way that this team is mentally made up at this point, this is the kind of game he needed if he's going to move forward. Right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
You can't throw him out there against. And he led the only touchdown drive against Florida.
Now, do you have that soundbite on Steven Johnson from Stoops, Josh? Go ahead and play that.
I thought he really calmed down and made some good decisions, you know, because early on it was a little rough and he just settled in. And he has a lot of poise, and that we need right now. And so it was really nice to see him. He really made good decisions, what it appeared, on the sideline of when to pull it down and get some yards with his legs. Made some good decisions on the zone replay where he could pull it and run, and made some, you know, good yards there. As you could see, we did that to them, and they certainly did that to us a few times. That gets aggravating when the quarterback can run it that way, get you a little off balance, and I thought Steven did that. And then when you get the run game going and we could, you know, hit the RPO and hit the guys down the middle, the tight end down the middle, and some guys off the run pass options, puts them in, you know, some tougher situations.
Poised. That's what we need right
now.
So I thought it was interesting, a comment from New Mexico State head coach Doug Martin in the post game. He was asked if Johnson at quarterback instead of Barker threw them off, like their defense, like they were ready to see Barker, not Johnson. Here's Doug Martin said, no, we kind of anticipated that. We thought that's the way they would go eventually. So we worked on it all week. So Doug Martin has already thought, because earlier in the week he said that he thought the reason UK was struggling offensively was they weren't getting quarterback play that they had expected to get. And so I guess he thought that it was going to go the same way, and they'd put Steven Johnson in at some point or another because that was the better option. That's almost like what he's saying.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly what he's saying.
Yeah, Johnson has to be the starter. Now, he said in the spring game, or in the spring, that he came to UK to start this year and next. That's what he said. And then his dad told SECCountry.com that his son didn't get a fair shot at starting because Barker was already entrenched as the starter, and they just brought Johnson in as a safety net.
Well, and Steven's whole family, his mom, dad, brother, sister, he said he didn't know when the last time all four of them were at a game. They just happened to all be at this one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool for them, too.
Freshman running back Benny Snell was asked after the game if he'd give the starting job to Johnson. And he responded, yeah. Derek Beatty said, it's definitely a competition, the quarterback job, because of Johnson's dual threat ability. And he said, Barker is an excellent QB, especially throwing the ball, but you got to admire a guy who can run and throw. That was from SECCountry.com. So now, Eddie Grant said he'll have to watch the game and then figure it out. But now, if you've got Derek Beatty and Benny Snell, that's a guy on either side of the ball saying, pretty much,
did they ask Benny Snell, should you be starting? He had himself a date.
He did. But what if you don't start? If you start Barker, if he comes back and he's healthy, you got two guys who just said, we're on Team Johnson.
But this week, don't you think this week is will truly be Steven Johnson's audition? Because they can play the, we got to give Drew a week off because of his back.
Absolutely.
They can 100% play that.
And I think they will spin it that way.
And then if...
healthy or not.
If Steven Johnson beats South Carolina or is, you know, plays well enough, mm-hmm. then yeah, they'll keep him.
Right.
And if he doesn't, then they've got that in their back pocket to say, well, Drew's healthy again.
Yeah. Yeah, if he goes out against South Carolina and is miserable, then we're back to Barker. But going into the South Carolina game, I think for the sake of the psyche of the team, you got to go. And the fan base. I mean, my gosh. You know what Twitter will be like, social media will be like, if they announce that Barker's going to start? Oh, they'll be just... You imagine Steven Johnson's dad, how he's going to feel?
So not only do we have this game to talk about, the Louisville game, we are going to be talking to Scott County head coach Jim McKee coming up at 9:30, because this is the game that will never officially end. Probably will officially end tomorrow in some way.
Yes.
So we'll talk about the Scott County Lafayette thing that's going on coming up in about 10 minutes. Plus, we have to give away two more tickets today to the NBA exhibition game at Rupp Arena October 15th between the Wizards and the Kings. So stay tuned, because we will be announcing what you have to know about us or the show to win those tickets.
381-1313 is the number to call. Steve's on the line, and we'll get to you next on the Dana Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Lucky's Auto Sports is Central Kentucky's largest window tinting facility. Defining rides since 1999. Want to cut down on glare while you're driving? Want to protect your interior? Want that stylish look of darker windows? Bring your car or truck to Lucky's Auto Sports for same-day service and let us tint your windows today. Our staff has over 40 years' experience and all the tools of the trade in auto tinting to ensure quality service. And all of our professional window tinting for your car, truck, RV, or SUV is backed by a lifetime warranty on bubbling, peeling, and fading. Lucky's Auto Sports only uses high-performance films, and all of our tint is computer cut. That means a machine cuts the tint before our technicians apply it to your vehicle's windows, so everything looks factory installed. Call us at 859-299-4411. Or get a quote and download coupons at LuckysAutosports.com today. That's Lucky's Auto Sports, your source for window tinting, auto and truck accessories, car audio, remote starts, and more.
Ride in your truck with style. On the road, off the road. That's the lifted life. Let your truck work for you. On the farm, on the job site. That's the lifted life. Take your truck out to play, at the lake, on the trail. That's the lifted life. Your truck is a part of you, whether it's for style, work, or play. So why not have the best of the best? Lucky's Off-Road is the truck accessories authority for getting you that lifted life. Lucky's installs everything you need to pull that boat, conquer that mountain, or function on that construction site. Suspension lifts, wheels and tires, winches, trailer hitches, toolboxes, bed covers, floor mats, step bars, bed liners, ladder racks, brush guards, vent visors, LED light bars, audio, video, you name it. Lucky's Off-Road has got it. Visit our showroom. Call Lucky's Off-Road at 859-299-4411 or get a quote at luckysoffroad.com today. Why? Because you deserve that lifted life.
The following commercial contains a bunch of super secret information.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, the following commercial is all wink, wink, hush, hush.
Check to the script.
At the Body Bay, we have things. So many things. You like tie-dyes? We got them. We got rolling papers, disc golf supplies, incense, e-cigs, glassware, vapes and pipes, flow toys, and other things. Hey, 420 is a cool number, isn't it? The Body Bay, we're just like 420. We're the coolest place in town. We have staff. They are friendly. We have stuff, you know? You want to be cool, too? Shop here and you will be. The Body Bay. 420 East New Circle Road next to Pizza Hut in Lexington. We're the place to buy things to do stuff with.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I do love this song. I really do.
Oh, you know some of these team... Benny Snell, he was bouncing to this last night with a lady. I'm telling you.
With a lady. Mm-hmm.
Usher. Now, they were...
Yeah!
Okay! Yes, the defense was horrendous. But, you know, some things emerged. Obviously, we just got done talking about Steven Johnson. He has to be the quarterback against South Carolina. If he stinks after that, then okay. But for now, right now, this week, this moment, Johnson. Benny Snell. I can't tell you. If you're a UK fan, this is the guy you have to be the most excited about. Yes, Boone Williams is good. Great. Benny Snell is the type of player that it's been a very long time since Kentucky's had a running back like Benny Snell. He rushed for 136 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's only the second UK freshman to rush for 4 touchdowns. Don Phelps in 1946 was the other. 4 rushing touchdowns ties the school record. Most rushing yards by a true freshman since Derek Homer, 1997. I mean, the post-game notes are littered with names from the past because of all the offense UK put up. But Snell, I heard him compared yesterday to Mo Williams and Artus Pinner. Mo Williams.
Because you throw those two and it's what one other guy, Sonny Collins, that had 4 touchdowns in a game.
Yeah. Now, Mo Williams is on the staff. You know, he's coming back to get his degree, so he's a student assistant. So he helps coach Benny. But Mo holds the record for most rushing yards in a season with 1,600. In 1995, Artus Pinner's second. He had 1,414 yards in 2002. And there's only been 6 UK running backs who have had 1,000-yard rushing seasons. Ralphie O. Little did it twice. Pinner Williams, Mark Higgs, George Adams, and then Sonny Collins did it twice. But, I mean, not even Boone Williams, as great as he's been, has rushed for 1,000 yards in a season yet. And I don't think that's his fault. He's not getting the balls. But, well, the EKU game thing, whatever, that was... That was his fault. But my point is that Benny Snell is special. I know it was New Mexico State. I understand that. But you saw his running style. What about the touchdown Benny Snell had that showed you that he's special?
Snap it at the 4. Keep it himself. Try the right side. Bounce off of some Aggies. Carry the ball.
He carried 5 guys into the end zone. First guy hit him. He kept driving. Second guy came. He kind of twisted a little bit, kept driving. He had a guy on his back, kept driving. A fourth guy comes in, keeps driving. 5 yards carrying 5 guys. The other thing he does is he hits the hole. Boone Williams' running style is almost a little bit of a feel.
Yeah, but
Boone feels out the hole, finds it. Sees the crease, goes.
Yes.
But he still feels it. Benny Snell is hitting it 100 miles per hour, and whatever he runs into, he pinballs off of and keeps going. You're not getting him down. The first guy is not going to get him down. Now, of course, he has to do it against SEC guys. But I'm telling you, that's a type of skill thing that he possesses that Kentucky just has not had, and it will translate against anybody.
And listen, they're going to need every bit of it if the defense continues to play the way it did yesterday. And I know we've been very positive so far this morning, but for Mark Stoops to have said, I'm going to go ahead and take a bigger role in the defense this week, and for them to look as brutally bad as they did. And even at his halftime interview, he said, we're playing horrific defense.
Oh, it was bad. So bad.
Okay. I know we've had
Kyle Tucker's article from SECCountry.com on the title is, I don't know, when is a win a loss kind of thing, which he's comparing Louisville's win, what Louisville did to Florida State, to what Kentucky did against New Mexico State, and then brings up about the defense, because this is the third straight game Kentucky's given up at least 500 yards of offense. And this came to New Mexico State the week that Mark Stoops says, I'm going to take a more active role in the defense. So, I mean, Kyle has absolutely lambasted
Mark
Stoops
him.
2 weeks in a row. I mean, not that Stoops doesn't deserve it. I mean, he's earned it.
Neil Brown took his Troy team to Southern Miss and won that game at Southern Miss.
Sure did.
All right.
Sure did. Let's get to the phone.
Yeah.
Steve.
Thank you for holding, Steve.
Good morning.
Morning. What's going on, guys?
Just living the dream.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the good thing about yesterday was it wasn't like, well, Kentucky's back. They look so amazing. But they did enough things yesterday that it's like, okay, you could build off this. It's like the sky's not falling. The offense, it's like they found an identity, and they kind of imposed it with the running game. And it's like I feel like that's what we need to do from here on out, And it pained me to, see Drew Barker go out the way he did, but Dan, you're right. There's just no way you could start him right now. You just can't do it. I don't think he's even mentally there right now.
Yeah. I just think he showed too much. He showed you too much, and you're in a bad, mm-hmm. you're in a tough situation right now. You've got to put your best guys out there. Prove it. Demonstrated performance.
You have to. They've got to win. They've got to beat South Carolina.
Right.
They've got to. So favorites, who's earned spots, this and that, it's all out the window. Like, who's going to give us the best chance to win this game?
Right.
And it's Steven Johnson.
And Steven Johnson's mobile, too. That's the thing. That's the key thing. Even on just, little runs, he was able to kind of, maneuver past a couple defenders. And it's like, he kind of needs that right now, going with such a mobile game. He's kind of the perfect fit for that and everything.
Yeah, there was one time he dropped back and the pressure came. And I said, Drew Barker doesn't avoid that. There's no way. Yeah. Drew Barker would have gotten sacked on that play for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, it's like the defense, I think the biggest problem of many, 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 many problems that they have, it's third down. I saw some stat yesterday. I think they're ranked 127th out of 128 on third down defense.
Ugh.
I mean, they're just we are literally at the bottom when it comes to third down defense.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Missouri probably ranks 128th in fourth down defense.
Oh, man. That was a heartbreaker. That was brutal.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a good one. But it's just, I don't know what you think. The problem with the defense, they're so bad that they'll keep us from winning games. That's the thing. Like South Carolina, I would be more confident going into if it wasn't for the defense.
Doug Martin knew how to pick them apart too. As soon as they would get a turnover, boom, let's go for the long ball because these guys aren't ready.
Yeah,
and they did it three times.
Again, this is New Mexico State.
Yeah,
I mean, Kyle Tucker pointed
they've
out
not had a winning season since 2002 or something like
that. Yeah, he pointed out in his article that since 2004, they've not won more than four games in a season and are a combined 8-40 the last 4 years.
Wow.
Let me tell you something that happened yesterday. Florida quarterback Luke Del Rio, he's out next week after getting banged up against North Texas. I mean, Florida destroyed North Texas. I think it was 32-0. He was under constant pressure against North Texas, and he was under constant pressure against UMass. But against UK,
he was like, it's
zero.
It's so easy to play quarterback.
Zero. So two comments came out of that from Florida beat writers. One said it shows how poor UK's front seven is. The other one said, what was UK doing against the Gators only blitzing six times?
Like, and that, they're not, it's like the players aren't, it's like they don't have the football IQ to figure this out. Because it's like, how many times did you see blown coverage yesterday? And it's been that way all year. You know, guys
yeah.
just not in their spot. It's just like, what is going on, guys? Like, you know, I mean, you can only simplify that playbook so much. You know?
And they said they're going to have to simplify the defense even more.
Yeah. UK had one sack yesterday. That was Josh Allen. Two quarterback hurries. While quarterback Tyler Rogers, who, come on.
Yeah.
Ran for 70 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, he was a little crafty, but he wasn't that, you know?
Yeah.
And then New Mexico State has rushed for 241 total yards all season, two games. They had 223 against Kentucky. New Mexico State lost to UTEP in its season opener.
Yeah.
UTEP lost to Army 66-14 yesterday. What's Army ranked? Nothing. They're not ranked. They protect it.
Let's carry this transitive property out. And so what will eventually the Louisville-UK score be at the end of the year?
Earmuffs.
You made my point, Mary Jo. How much do you think Bobby Petrino, what he's seen of us, how much do you think he can't wait to play us at the end of the year with the defense we have?
I don't think he cares. I don't think he's given it one thought.
Oh, really? Because there's just a part of me that
I think you know, he. I don't think he's the least bit worried about UK at all.
I got to laugh about this for a second.
Yeah.
Louisville plays at Marshall next week.
Yeah.
Louisville has lost four straight to the Thundering Herd, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Marshall got beat by Akron yesterday, 65-38. Louisville, they might
be
break the scoring record.
25-6.
They might break the NCAA scoring record against Marshall. Petrino might just go, these guys have beaten us four times. Let's score for every single game the margin of defeat.
Yeah.
Let's make that up and then do our thing.
The thing about Louisville, I expected them to be good, but not that good.
Well, Lamar Jackson's a different kind of dude.
Yes.
I mean, they looked like world beaters yesterday. It's like this team legitimately, I could make an argument they're number one right now. I mean, they look absolutely just.
Well, and yesterday everything came together, too. I mean, it was game day. It was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what an atmosphere there.
Mm.
You know, so it's all that stuff together. I don't think they're going to beat every team by 40 points. That's ranked number two in the country. You know what I mean? But Lamar Jackson is a dude that can single-handedly beat you.
Yeah. I think Houston will give them a game. I've told people I think Houston's got the offense to keep up with them.
And they play Clemson in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and those are on the road.
But aside from that, there's nobody in there that should beat Louisville.
Nope.
No.
So.
Uh-oh. Yeah, they'll be those two, but.
All right, Steve, we gotta get to a break here. And coming up next, we're going to talk to Scott County head coach Jim McKee.
Yes.
About the Scott County Lafayette game.
Yeah, we're going to talk to him next. And just to set it up real quick, just so you know, right before we go to break here, it was 25-20 Scott County when the game was called early third quarter Friday night. Scott County claimed a victory. And then at about 1 o'clock in the morning after the game, Lafayette claimed it had won due to forfeit. Lafayette says it wanted to wait out the weather and finish Friday night. Scott County didn't agree to that. Lafayette also says it offered to play the game Saturday at Tate's Creek since neither Toyota Stadium nor Ishmael Stadium at Lafayette was available Saturday. And that was not agreed upon. Scott County coach Jim McKee told the news graphic in Georgetown that Lafayette never offered an alternate site, and he called that a, quote, untruth. Scott County's freshman and JV teams were set to travel to Elder Saturday for games, so that complicated things further. KHSAA Commissioner Julian Tackett told the Herald Leader if the two teams didn't resolve the issue by Monday, the KHSAA would rule on it. And McKee has said to the news graphic that he submitted a statement to the KHSAA and will accept the decision. Now, we talked about this yesterday, and just so you know, I want to get it out here. My information is according to accounts from two people who covered the game for Fox and WKYT Friday night. I also got my information from Lafayette head coach Eric Shaw, the Lexington Herald Leader, and the Georgetown news graphic. And next, we're going to get information from Jim McKee on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. These are the nights to never
die. Father told me. Reds fans, Saturday, October 1st, cheer on your Cincinnati Reds when they take on the Chicago Cubs for $13. The first 25,000 fans will receive a Team Cincinnati t-shirt thanks to Butterbee's American Grill. Catch all the action Saturday, October 1st for just $13. For tickets, call 513-381-REDS or visit Reds.com.
Reason number 12 why you should own a ThermoSpa's hot tub? They require no attachment to your home's plumbing. Thanks to the ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermofiltration system that filters the water an incredible 144 times a day, you simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance. Call to receive a free DVD and brochure and find out how you can own a ThermoSpa's hot tub for only a few dollars a day. Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,000 savings coupon, including free delivery, free chemicals, and a cash discount. And with models starting at $4,995, there will never be a better time to own a ThermoSpa's hot tub. So call now and ask about this limited-time offer. Call ThermoSpa's today at 800-956-7088 for your free DVD and brochure. That's 800-956-7088. ThermoSpa's, hot tubs designed to improve your life. Call 800-956-7088 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
Command and conquer.
That's really what you want to do when it comes to cleaning your home or office. You want to say, this is what needs to be done, and then you want it done, and you want it done well. That's why Command and Conquer Cleaning has so many satisfied customers. You tell them what you want done, and they take care of the rest. Cleaning your home or office with satisfaction guaranteed. Call or text 859-302-0142, 859-302-0142 for your free consultation and quote. Command and Conquer Cleaning provides a quality job at the most affordable prices. Locally owned and operated, so you get service unmatched in the business. Call or text Lori today for your free consultation and quote at 859-302-0142. That's 859-302-0142.
Command and conquer.
That's how cleaning should be.
ESPN Sports Radio. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Did Faith No More have any other songs but this one?
Well, I mean, I had the CD, but I don't remember anything but this one.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah. Well, Friday night was crazy, high school football-wise. Because
yeah, weather everywhere. Yeah.
Now, the first weekend was crazy, too. The second weekend was a little crazy as well, with all the bowl games and the heat advisories. And teams couldn't start the early game on time, so the second game was starting like 10 o'clock in some cases and not finishing till after midnight and sometimes 1 a.m. That was the case Friday night. Some games didn't finish till 1 o'clock. Some games were postponed. Like Bryan Station, Meade County, they played the first quarter and 2 seconds of the second quarter stopped. It was 7-6 Bryan Station. They were going to play Saturday. Meade County decided not to come back. That's it. Ball game. A couple other games, like Woodford County's game was called at halftime. Ball game. Official. So, Friday night, Scott County, Lafayette, had been through this before. A couple years ago, it rained lightning late, and they just called the game late. So here we go again, same situation. Now we have Coach Jim McKee on the line with us. Good morning, Coach McKee.
What's going on there, Daniel? How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. Doing
hey,
good.
Coach.
How are you?
Hey, good, man. Just sat back and absolutely amazed at the University of Louisville and what they've been able to accomplish in football yesterday. I'm sure y'all watched that game and have probably already talked about it, but
yeah.
No, I don't know how long you guys have been in this area, but you know, those people that have been here as long as I have and can think about the University of Louisville football when they were playing in Old Cardinal Stadium in front of about 10,000 fans on that hard AstroTurf compared to where they are today. They'll probably be ranked number two in the country when the poll comes out today. It's just absolutely amazing and great for football in this state.
And deservedly number two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
I drove by that stadium the other day. I just can't even believe that that's where they played, you know?
Yeah, 63 points against Florida State, who started 19 of 22 starters were four- or five-star recruits coming out of high school.
Mm. That's the most points in the history of Florida State football. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well,
a couple of our kids down there, Brian Hudson and Glenn Covington, were down there for the game yesterday, and then a large group of our kids went down for game day. So it's exciting to see that happen in our state.
Yeah, of course, Brian Hudson is the offensive lineman that UK has already offered, right?
Right, yeah. Kentucky offered him in the spring. He's having a really good sophomore year. He's 6'4", about 265 right now. You know, he's got to continue to get better, just like you guys were always continuing to find better ways to increase the ratings on your show. You know, Brian's not a finished product, but he's certainly got a good base to start with.
Did you tell him that Kentucky scored 62 points yesterday?
No, I haven't seen him yet. I'll see him at 2 o'clock.
All right,
Coach, so we kind of gave the background a little bit from what we know from the game Friday night. So, how did it go down for you?
But we had lightning at about, 11 minutes ago in the third quarter. It was a little bit after 9 o'clock when we had it. And of course we went to the locker room and, you know, I huddled up with our school administration to try to put a little bit of a plan together. And, you know, our thoughts were, let's wait out three delays. You know, let's wait out 3:30 minutes. And then, you know, after an hour and a half, if there's still tons of lightning in the area and we don't know when we're going to get to play, then let's call it a night. And so we did wait out three, and Lafayette was adamant about not calling it a night. So we agreed to wait out four. And at that point in time, you know, we made them aware that our stadium was unavailable on Saturday due to conflicts with some lacrosse and soccer with Georgetown College. And their stadium was unavailable. And at that point in time, we went home.
Yeah.
And then Julian called me maybe about midnight.
Julian Tackett, the KHSAA commissioner.
And said that, probably – technically, it was our responsibility to offer them something. And I said, hey, I understand that. No problem. You know, you handle this however you need to handle it. It's not my job. I've worked with Julian Tackett for 25 years. It's not my job to tell him how to run the KHSAA. It's not my job to tell you guys how to run this show, because if it was, I would have already had me on a lot earlier in the year. And I said, you know, you guys do whatever you feel like you need to do, and I'll be 100% aware in the future that we need to try to make some kind of accommodations. Now, there was some thought process that there was an offer to play the game somewhere else. So that's absolutely not true. I have no control over any stadiums except Georgetown College and the practice field of Scott County, and Lafayette was unavailable. And any thought process to play anywhere else came long after our kids had already gone home.
But were you contacted at all about the possibility of playing Saturday at Tate's Creek?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. Because that comes from Lafayette's AD told the Lexington Herald Leader that, you know, that Tate's...
I mean, I can't speak for Lafayette's AD or Lafayette.
Right.
I mean, I can tell you this. You know, I there's one school that I speak for, Scott County High School. And I never make any kind of comments or any kind of anything about anybody else's school. The only thing I would say about Lafayette is, you know, I would like to congratulate Coach Shaw for what he's done with the program over the last several years and congratulate them on beating us last year in the regional finals, which I did that night, and wish them the very best for the remainder of this season and through the playoffs. And, you know, I've talked with Walker a couple times on the field. I got a chance to catch him before they played Dunbar and the opener this year as we were coming off after our Tate's Creek game. And, you know, you guys have been around here a long time. You probably haven't been around here long enough to remember Shane Boyd, although you know him when he was at Henry Clay. Zeke Combs, who was at Henry Clay. You know, Walker's right up in there. You know, it's impossible to rank people in my mind and say this guy's the very best ever.
Yeah.
But Walker's right up in there in the top three or four impact players in the way that he impacts a high school football game that we've gone against in the city of Lexington. And it's great for football in Central Kentucky for, you know, Lafayette to surge like they have. I think we won 25 straight games against the city of Lexington over about a four-year period.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not good because that that's not a rivalry.
You know,
Kentucky and Tennessee don't have a rivalry in football. I mean, I wish they did, you know, but you got to – it's got to go back and forth. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what – you got something to really look forward to. And the other thing, you know, once I let our kids go home, how's Sam doing, Mary Jo? Good?
He's great.
How old is he now?
He's 10.
He's 10. Well, you got about four or five more years, and then you got to—I got to get my hands on him, bring him down there. I'm going to
He knows more. He knows more than me already. So,
does he?
Oh yeah, he'll tell you.
Good, good. But you know, the other thing that you got to remember now, and the first thing I looked at was to see when their open date was and when ours was, and it doesn't match up. Our open date's the 30th, and theirs is the last game of the year. But it gets really tough now. So when you want to make it up, Mary Jo, you think if Sam's my quarterback and I've got a game every Friday, and you're his mom, and I take him out there and play him a full half of a game against Lafayette on a Monday and flip him around on a Friday and play, and he gets a concussion or hurts his knee or breaks his ankle, I'd say you'd probably run right out of the stands and celebrate on how I've taken care of that situation. So, you know, I mean, to us, we're ready to move forward, and we will prepare for Clark County today at 2 o'clock, and whatever decision that KHSAA makes, we'll certainly respect, and we'll wish Lafayette nothing but the best.
How do you think these things should be handled? I've seen some comments where people say, well, you should never have a game called, I mean, like Bryan Station, Meade County, they played 1/4 and 2 seconds.
Blame Meade County.
No,
Here's how things should be handled, in my opinion. The Mary Jo and Dan show should be handled in the manner in which you all think is the very best for your show.
Yeah.
And Meade County, Bryan Station should be handled. Now, the only thing that, you know, I would take away from it, and we'll have a repeat situation, would be the only foolproof thing that I could come up with would be that if you would write in your contract, which I've done that, where we use Georgetown College as our home field when it used to be grass, you know, we would run into a little conflict where, you know, if we had a huge amount of rain and we'd have a game on a Friday and the college would have a game on a Saturday, where I might write some stuff in that, you know, if the forecast is for such, then the game will be played on Thursday. I think the only foolproof manner would be if you write it in the game contract that if the game is delayed by lightning, the teams will agree to wait X amount of time. If they still cannot play, the game will be resumed the following day. Our problem was, you know, when we left the stadium and I let the kids go home, which was well after 11 o'clock, we had no options to resume the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, I don't control Tate's Creek.
Right. Right.
I mean, I'm not the most popular person in Fayette County football.
No, you're not.
You know, so true. I don't have any control over Tate's Creek Stadium or Henry Clay Stadium. Now, when we were not winning very much, I was a little more popular.
Yeah.
But since we've started winning a whole lot, for some reason, my popularity's gone down. I don't get that. Now, your all show, is the popularity going up or down?
It's going up, baby. We're the number one rated local sports talk show.
And you know, ratings are spiking now. We got you. We finally got you on.
Yeah. But one last thing, though. What about the result? Like, what should happen with the result? Should results count? Like, I referenced Meade County and Bryan Station, where they only played 1/4. You guys played a half. What should happen with the result? You just call it nothing? No result whatsoever?
I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference to me what happens.
Yeah, because game has no playoff implications.
It doesn't really, it doesn't really affect you guys one way or the other moving forward, the outcome, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, it does not.
Yeah. All right.
No. And so you have Clark County this Friday.
We did everything in our power to try to play the game on Friday night. And, you know, Yeah. We couldn't get it. And there's no good answer. It's just like, if you go on a diet, I always need to go on a diet because I eat too much and I don't exercise enough. I don't know if y'all have ever had that problem or not.
You've seen us. Really, you know the answer to that.
But it'll really hit
speak
you
for yourself, Dan.
Absolutely. I would never, yeah. Dan, Mary Jo.
I'm sorry.
Listen, I'm available if need be to come be a co-host for a week and we'll really get the show going. But it's like when you go on a diet and you're overweight a little bit, and I've been that countless times in my life. What's the right amount? 10 pounds, 15 pounds, 20 pounds. And so what's the right amount to weigh? An hour, 2 hours, 3 hours?
Yeah.
4 hours. We waited it out. Okay, well, great. You make every common sense effort to play the game, and then you got to move forward. And at this point in time, when you play? A week from Thursday, a quarter of 10? I don't know.
Yeah.
So we got a game against Clark County next Friday. Then we're excited about our district. And to be honest with you, I'm done talking about it, and I've got to move forward.
Yeah.
So moving forward, you got Clark County Friday night.
Yep.
Well, what do you like most about your team this year?
Growth potential. We graduated 10 starters off our defense, actually 9, and we moved one starter to offense. So we had 10 new starters on defense this year, which is a lot even for us. But they've done really well, and they have such a continued growth potential. I don't know how closely you all follow high school football, but we played Cincinnati Elder last week. And I don't know if you all are aware what Cincinnati Elder did last night, but they beat Cleveland St. Edward, which was the number one rated team in the state of Ohio, and the back-to-back Division I Ohio State champions. So we've played Lafayette, who I think on the hoof is as talented as any team in Kentucky. We've played Elder. We've played at Fort Thomas Highlands. We've played at Pulaski County. So we've had a tough run of games, of which all those kids have really been thrown to the fire, and we've come out of it in good shape health-wise, and those guys have grown, but they still have so much more growth potential. So I just am excited. I don't know that I've had a team, our staff has had a team in a lot of years where we are nowhere near a finished product after 5 games into the year. We feel like we can get a ton better between now and when the playoffs start.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for coming on here and talking about Friday night's situation, and best of luck Friday night and the rest of the way.
Well, no problem. I just like taking an opportunity to, say thanks to the people of Georgetown, Scott County, that would be listening to this show for supporting our program so well. We have huge crowds out there. Thank our youth coaches for volunteering their time, our feeder program coaches. Thank our school administration for supporting Scott County football the way that they do. And, thank our kids most of all for the great effort and time that they put into our program. And I look forward to working with them at 2:00 this afternoon and moving forward. Look forward to the game Friday night against Clark County.
Thanks, Coach. We'll be following you the rest of the way, and we'll have you on again. When our ratings need a boost, we'll bring you right back.
All right, you do it, and keep Sam working.
I will. Thanks, Coach. Good to talk to you.
All right, bye-bye.
Coach Jim McKee from Scott County there here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show. We'll be back with more. 381-1313. Is the number to call to get in.
On the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
I have often wondered why people would hire law firms many miles from their homes, sometimes well over 100. This is why we have fully staffed offices throughout Kentucky and conveniently located for you. And I mean real offices, not a post office box. You can drive over anytime. When you want to meet with your lawyer, we're close by. And if you've been injured and are unable to come to us, we'll come to you 7 days a week. Also, if you ever have questions about your case, visit ForThePeople.com 24 hours a day. And you can always call our office, even at 3 in the morning. Try it. Being connected to you is our goal number one. For over 25 years, we've been here when you needed us most. It has been our honor to represent you and your family. Call or visit us anytime. We're here for you. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
Parents, are you talking about alcohol with your children? If you're not, it's time to consider a free resource, FamilyTalkAboutDrinking.com. Family Talk About Drinking uses different stages to help parents create the right age-specific atmosphere to have meaningful conversations with your kids about underage drinking. FamilyTalkAboutDrinking.com is a free online resource that gives you the confidence and tools to talk with your kids about alcohol at any age. Be part of the solution, not the problem. This is a public service announcement from Kentucky Eagle.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Second game, he's seen some action here for Kentucky. Three and out the first time. Inside handoff, and he goes around the right side. Kentucky.
181 yards and a touchdown that you just heard from Boom Williams. And, you know, as explosive as he is, he still hasn't joined the 1,000-yard rushing club yet as far as the season goes. He had 855 yards last year, averaged 7.1 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 7.1 yards per carry is the highest yards per carry average in UK history among the guys who were the leading rushers that season. So for every leading rusher of every season at Kentucky, no one has averaged better than 7.1 yards per carry in the history of Kentucky football, which that is pretty special. His 6.6 yards per carry his freshman year, that ties Mark Higgs for second best all time.
Yeah, the ground game looked good
10.1 yards per carry yesterday.
Yeah.
10 yards of carry. He was a first down handoff.
Yeah.
Handoff, first down. Yeah, no doubt.
But again, you know, South Carolina didn't look all that impressive in its win yesterday.
Well, they started out 17-3 in the first quarter. South Carolina was up on East Carolina, 17-3. And then the final wound up being 20-15. So the final three quarters, South Carolina mustered a field goal, whereas East Carolina, it looked, I don't know what East Carolina's scoring was. I don't know if they scored a touchdown or not, because I think it was just all field goals, five field goals. But, you know, something else that they did in this game, Kentucky, on the offensive line, Stoops said, by design, rotated more guys in. Played eight guys total. Logan Stenberg, Bunchy Stallings, and George Asafo-Ajay came in off the bench. Landon Young made his first career start. So there was no Cole Mosier. He would make a ninth guy. But I think that's a good thought, a good thing to do, is if get those guys ready to go, make sure you can play those guys so you keep the offensive line fresh. I mean, they're big guys. Logan Stenberg and Bunchy Stallings, George Asafo-Ajay, big guys. Like, you think about Ramsey Myers. He's tall, but he's not a big guy. Like, he doesn't have a lineman's gut like that you would think a guy would have. You know, where Landon Young is, I mean, he's a physical specimen. There's no big belly on him. Not that you have to have a big belly, but none of them look like Larry Warford, who plays in the NFL, you know? So I thought that was a good move there. C.J. Conrad, we haven't mentioned him yet. We got a minute left before we got to go
which
break.
We should, because he was phenomenal.
Five catches for 133 yards and three touchdowns. First Wildcat to catch three touchdown passes in a game since Dickie Lyons Jr. in 07. He's the first UK tight end with three TD catches in a game since James Whalen in 1999. And you can't mention first ever whatever something tight end in Kentucky history without the name Jacob Tammy. First UK tight end with 100 yards receiving since.
I was going to say, it might be the first three touchdowns by a tight end since Jacob Tammy, right? Not in the same game, just like...
No, it was the first...
Period.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Just like, period. Okay, we've got to... we're going to come up in our next hour with...
Derek Terry from Rivals.com.
Derek Terry from Rivals.com. And how you can win two tickets to the Wizards-Kings NBA exhibition game here in RUP October 15th. Coming up next.
On the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLHG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
Schedule inspires us all. Dan, you seem to get tired from breathing. Dan, it must have been very hard on your body on that construction job, swinging all day as the wrecking ball.
Sorry, I'm laughing.
It's funny. I'm laughing. I'm laughing right with you.
I mean, it's amazing. It's,
the Dan Le Batard Show, now 10 to 1 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.
Monday night, it's Philly versus Chicago. Rookie Carson Wentz.
A lot of pressure, high expectations. They better be patient with this kid.
Hopes to build on his solid debut.
Back shoulder throw, and it's a touchdown.
While the Bears are looking to avoid an 0-2 start. Monday Night Football, Eagles, Bears, 8:15 Eastern on ESPN. No other night is Monday night.
The NFL on ESPN Radio.
I'm Patriots reporter Mike Reese, and the big story for the team this week, will tight end Rob Gronkowski make his regular season debut? Of course, he missed the season opening win over the Cardinals with a hamstring injury, but no one should be surprised if Gronkowski needs a little more time before he's back out on the field.
This NFL Nation Report is brought to you by Exxon. The NFL on ESPN Radio.
End your day with SportsCenter at Night with Scott Van Pelt.
Now, I'm a 6'6" white boy from the suburbs.
End your day on one big thing.
No athlete ever could be again all that was Muhammad Ali. Steph Curry, the most scrutinized MVP I have ever seen.
End your day on a laugh.
Tony Taraski. Joe Flacco.
Whoa! Tim Curtin, ladies and gentlemen.
End your day on a highlight. SportsCenter at Night with Scott Van Pelt. Weeknights, midnight Eastern on ESPN.
Coming up Sunday on the NFL on ESPN Radio. It's a critical early season game for the Miami Dolphins as they head to New England to face Jimmy Garoppolo and the Patriots.
Amendola, he's got it. Touchdown, Patriots.
Then in Denver, the defending Super Bowl champion Broncos face Andrew Luck and the Colts.
Touchdown, Andrew Luck.
Coverage of the Patriots and Dolphins kicks off at noon Eastern today on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm John Ryder. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports that Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski will miss his second straight game with a hamstring injury, with New England hosting Miami, and available on ESPN Radio today at noon Eastern. Adam Schefter also reported that Broncos receiver Demaryius Thomas should be able to play through his hip injury today against the Colts. It's the second game of the doubleheader on ESPN Radio. Denver will test Thomas's hip during pregame warmups. Top three ranked college football teams on the road for week three, and this time, number one Alabama able to rally to beat 19th ranked Ole Miss 48-43, avoiding a third straight loss to the Rebels. Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson, four rushing touchdowns, throws for another. 10th ranked Cardinals pound number two Florida State 63-20. Third ranked Ohio State with a 45-24 win at number 14 Oklahoma. 12th ranked Michigan State defeats number 18 Notre Dame 36-28 at South Bend. Irish head coach Brian Kelly. Notre Dame drops to 1-2 on the season. North Dakota State upsets 13th-ranked Iowa 23-21 on a last-second field goal. To baseball, Cardinals over the Giants 3-2, St. Louis scoring two in the ninth. In 12 innings, the Mets beat the Twins 3-2 on a Curtis Granderson walk-off homer, his second homer of the game. Mets and Giants tied for the top wild card. St. Louis is two back. Red Sox get past the Yankees 6-5. Boston now with a 3-game lead on Baltimore and Toronto in the AL East. World Cup of Hockey opener, Team Europe over the U.S. 3-0. Canada beats the Czech Republic 6-0.
This weekend in college football.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Louisville. Hello, Heisman Trophy. We got a new front runner.
A full recap when Mike and Mike react Monday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Brothers Auto Sales is Central Kentucky's number one dealer of pre-owned vehicles. At Brothers Auto Sales, you'll find the most complete selection of quality pre-owned cars and trucks available today. Every vehicle comes with a Carfax report documenting every aspect of the vehicle's history. Plus, we have an A-plus rating from the BBB. Brothers Auto Sales is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. for sales. Their top-notch service department is there Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5. Brothers Auto Sales, 285 East New Circle at the corner of Bryan Station Road or on the web at brothersautosales.com. No gimmicks, no games, no high pressure. Just the best prices on quality. Pre-owned vehicles in Central Kentucky, period. Brothers Auto Sales.
Following is an advertisement.
When someone has an accident or an on-the-job injury, our main goal is to make sure our clients are fairly compensated. Fairly compensated for their injuries, bills, loss of income, future and past, and for pain and suffering, and for the loss of enjoyment of life. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. In most of our cases, we're able to reach a settlement quickly without a need for trial. And our clients are able to get on with their lives. But to recover what we believe is fair, it's important that the insurance company know a law firm goes to trial and gets results. You see, not all law firms are the same. I've seen so many come and go these past 27 years. To reach a fair settlement, hire a firm with a reputation for verdicts at trial. Visit ForThePeople.com and review our verdicts. Trial verdicts are the best weapon for a fair settlement. Morgan & Morgan. ForThePeople.com.
Offices, Lexington. This message has been an advertisement.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
Well, we've talked a lot about Kentucky's offense first hour. A little bit about the defense. The defense is a train wreck. Derek Terry works for Rivals.com, catches work at CatsIllustrated.com, and he joins us now on the show. Derek, good morning. Thanks for being on.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good, good. I'm here with Mary Jo. And,
hi, Derek.
Hi.
what were your impressions of yesterday? What did you come away with? Steven Johnson, the starting quarterback next week?
I think so. Obviously, it's probably dependent on Drew Barker's health to see if we even be able to play. But my main takeaways is, yeah, like you guys were saying, the offense, I mean, C.J. Conrad, Benny Snell, and Steven Johnson all looked really good. And then the defense has looked, honestly, as bad as I've ever seen it in my life. So lots to clean up on that side of the ball. But at least on offense, you could walk away feeling pretty good about how they looked.
Now, I remember you putting out there a little while ago that you work now for Sports Illustrated's Campus Rush. Now, did you turn in something for them for this game?
I didn't. I think on a national scale, especially now at Kentucky's 0-2, a game against New Mexico State, wasn't going to bring too many viewers. I did write a piece for the Florida game about the players from Florida going home to play in that game.
Okay. But congratulations, by the way, on that.
Very cool.
It's got to be good.
Appreciate it.
What was your sense from the guys just afterward, the guys that you talked to, just like a huge weight lifted a little bit?
I don't know. A lot of those guys, like Steven Johnson and Benny Snell, two guys I talked to, I mean, that's really the first time they've not necessarily played. Well, for Benny Snell it is, but
yeah.
I don't know. Benny Snell kind of surprised me with some of the things he said. He just, I don't know, whenever you have a record-setting performance like that in your very first college game, I mean, I think, personally, I'd probably be pretty excited, but he seemed to just shrug it off, and Steven Johnson I actually didn't talk to, but C.J. Conrad is someone I wrote a story on, and I think C.J. might have been that way. I mean, that was a career game for any tight end, really, catching three touchdowns, first time since 2007. So maybe for the coaches it was that way, but maybe for Stoops, since being such a defensive guy with how they played, he probably isn't feeling too good about that.
So Stoops, being a defensive guy, said this week that he was going to play a more active role in the defense, and then they came out and were just abysmal against New Mexico State. So you can only imagine, if things don't turn around, how brutal it could be the next, you know, nine weeks or so.
Yeah, he might have picked a bad week to come out.
Stop
and
sniffing
say that
glue.
He's going to be more involved in the offense or defense. I mean, so.
Well, at least, you know, he made a point. They made an adjustment. Like, second half, okay, New Mexico State only had 165 yards in the second half and one touchdown. 7 points. 7 points, 165 yards in the second half. After 345 yards in the first half and 35 points. So that was at least a positive, I would think, and Stoops made sure to point it out, that they made adjustments.
Yeah, he did. I thought, and the interception that Derek Beatty had in the end zone, I thought that was another driver. New Mexico State just did whatever they wanted, and then for whatever reason, once they got down in the red zone, they decided to pass it instead of running it. But I was fully believe that if they committed to running the ball four times right there, they would have scored a touchdown. But as it was a break for UK, I thought, and a good play by Derek Beatty. I have to give him credit for making the play.
Now, you're a student there at UK. What is your sense of the students and how they feel about Kentucky football?
I think the students, in some sense, are like a lot of the other fans. I think coming into the season, they were excited. And most of all, I think Kentucky football fans just want something to cheer about and be proud about.
Yeah.
And after the first two games, I mean, I think the campus has lost a lot of the excitement, like a lot of the fan base has. And I know with the weather yesterday, just most people would rather do other things than go sit in the rain and watch an 0-2 football team. But I don't think you can really blame them for that. I think Kentucky's not to win the fans back. And I would hope this week the fans would show up for a night game against South Carolina, but I guess that remains to be seen.
Yeah, that's something we haven't really talked about, was the crowd there yesterday, an announced crowd of about 49,000, but there were not 50,000 people there.
No, there was not. It was the lowest of the Stoops era, by the way, the announced crowd was. And
okay.
It was definitely lower than that.
Yeah.
And like Derek said, who wants to go sit in the rain? I probably would have taken my sons because of the military and the Heroes Day and all that stuff. They'd love that. And then you get to see 62 points, 104 combined points. So that's always fun for a kid to keep their attention. There's a lot of action. But when it's raining, you can forget it. I'm not going out there. So that had a little bit of something to do with it. Hey, I wanted to ask you about your take on the situation there between Kentucky President Eli Capilouto and the Kentucky Colonel, where, he's suing the Colonel in order to keep some records about a sexual assault investigation under wrap and not get it out there. And now this week, the journalism department at Kentucky got together and sent a letter to Capilouto saying you need to apologize and drop the suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a former colonel like myself. I was a sports editor there last year, and I covered baseball for them a few years ago. So I know Marjorie Kirk, the editor-in-chief, pretty well, and I side with the colonel and obviously the journalism department on this. I think it hurts the transparency of the university.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they have suits like this and they don't want to release records, and it's obviously just a really bad look to sue the school newspaper. I know the school newspaper is independent from the university, but regardless, I think the biggest issue I had with Capilouto was he's never met with Marjorie Kirk about her reporting and how she's going about this, but he's attacked her in various meetings and whatnot. And I think for the school president to make any kind of remarks like that, I think it's best to be informed before you say anything like that, and to not meet with Marjorie and just see how she's gone about it and all that. I mean, I think that's where Capilouto has been in the wrong, at least from the standpoint of sticking up for Marjorie.
We're talking with Derek Terry of Rivals.com on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Two troubling things to me, and this was pointed out in the journalism department's letter to Capilouto, was that, quote, when you told the Board of Trustees that the Colonel, in its story about the James Harwood sexual assault case, published salacious details to attract readers, you impugned the reputation of the newspaper and its editor, Marjorie Kirk, and cast aspersions on journalism faculty who have taught and are teaching Colonel staff. salacious details to attract readers. So that's Marjorie Kirk's objective then in this whole situation. Is that what you're saying, Dr. Capilouto? To me, that's a really bad look, and it looks like exactly what you said.
It looks like we're trying to cover something
right,
up.
Right. You're trying
and hide
to,
something.
So then his reasoning behind not releasing details was that protecting the identity of the victims who had the courage to report their assault. Well, the guy walked away. You let him resign and didn't punish him for anything. So he didn't do it, right? What victims are you talking about? So I just can't believe it.
Yeah, I agree with you guys on that. I mean, we talked about it some of my class, and I don't want to try to sound like an expert on this because I'm really not. There's a lot of other people who know more about this than I do, but I know there's a certain clause, I believe is what it was, that they could sign with Harwood, and you guys might already know this, that I believe for 6 months he could still get full benefits and full pay for agreeing to that contract or whatever. And I guess UK would sweep it under the rug, per se. But
yeah.
You guys might know more about that than I do.
No, I don't. I read about it, and that's about it. And I go on with covering high school football and keeping up with UK football. But I just talking to someone who's worked at the Colonel, and then, you know, several people that are covering sports now here in Lexington worked at the Colonel.
A lot of them.
That's where they trained. I mean, I was a journalism student at UK. I have a degree in journalism from UK. And this, to me, just looks really, really bad on Dr. Capilouto. And it started to get national headlines now because he's skewing the student newspaper. And you remember in past years, these things happening. And when these things happen, your first thoughts are, cover up. That's just what they are. Yeah. So you don't want something out there, and it's just, like I said, it's just a really bad look for Dr. Capilouto. All right, before we let Derek go, need to ask you, what do you think about South Carolina coming in? Is Kentucky done enough to show that it can be competitive against South Carolina in one game against New Mexico State, and the Mexico State team that's maybe they're a little better this year, but they're horrible?
Yeah, I think I saw yesterday where South Carolina also allowed like 500 yards of offense to East Carolina, which is a school that traditionally has a pretty good offense. But regardless, South Carolina won the game.
Yeah.
But I think.
Well, that guy from East Carolina had 22 catches.
Yeah.
One shy of the NCAA record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty unbelievable. I think Kentucky can definitely be competitive. I'm not sure. I'm not ready to say that they'll win the football game, but I don't see any reason why they can't. It won't be a close game throughout. Honestly, going into the season, I picked South Carolina last in the SEC East. Mm-hmm. So they've already won one more game in conference than I thought they would. They beat Vanderbilt first game of the season. So we'll see. I mean, offense, I think, is good enough to score points, but it's going to come down to the defense getting enough stops or not.
I don't want it to come down to the defense.
Yo, Will Muschamp, of course, has a pretty good defensive track record. Mark Stoops did have a good track record defensively. He's completely erased that in his 4 years here at Kentucky. Hey, well, Derek, thanks for joining us here.
Thank you, Derek. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, Derek Terry there of Rivals.com. You can read what he writes on CatsIllustrated.com. I forgot to mention baseball. He does a great job with baseball, and the publisher of CatsIllustrated.com, Justin Rowland, said, I think, over the summer that they were going to make more of an effort to get into baseball, UK baseball, recruiting news, and more of it. And personally, I like it. I mean, I know there's not a ton of UK baseball fans out there, but I definitely like to follow the baseball team and keep up with them. And, you know, I think over the next week or so, we'll probably have Nick Mingione on because Matt May, who used to work for, he worked for the Colonel. It was a Colonel, you know, but then he cat's paws, obviously, for many years, the cat's paws. He was over at Keeneland and
returned to UK.
He's back. He's at UK as the SID for baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So right up his alley, by the way. Perfect. Yeah. And so had a relationship with Matt for so many years that I'm sure he's going to be helpful when we want to talk to Coach Nick Mingione. And so
you're just like calling him out now, just in case he says no, he can't do it. You've already put it out there.
It's out there. Yeah. We'll do it. Because I was off the week that you guys had him on the show. Yeah. I didn't get to talk to the coach.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to play for him. He was really cool. Really cool.
So I, you know, personally, I have to be able to do that interview.
Yeah.
Since
okay.
I missed it.
We'll let you do that, Dan.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary.
Hey, coming up, we're going to come up with our question of how you can win these two tickets. You got to be a loyal listener of the show because it's going to be we're going to ask something that you would only know if you'd been listening long enough, so you can get these two tickets to the Kings Wizards exhibition game October 15th at Rupp Arena. So we're going to do that coming up.
Next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
The anthem controversy, the Dolphins provided it. Kate Upton got indignant and called it a disgrace. That's where you're reaching a tipping point on people no longer being interested in a story. What needed to happen yesterday just to confuse people is Riley Cooper needed to take a knee during the anthem.
Dan Levitard, weekdays 10 to 1 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hey, it's your old pal Bobby Betts here from Winning Picks, here to talk to you about the boatload of money you can make this weekend by betting at MyBookie. You know who's going to win a game, right? It's time to put your money where your mouth is and join the thousands of online players, just like me, and start betting at MyBookie. Now look, I'd only recommend a service that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. You're wasting your time if you're betting anywhere else. They offer the highest credit card acceptance rates, so you can start playing instantly. They also have in-game live betting, so you can even place a bet after kickoff. And unlike some other websites, MyBookie offers fast, no-hassle payouts when you win. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with a 100% bonus? Yeah, use promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today or call 844-900-BETS. 844-900-BETS. Expert or rookie, you gotta check out MyBookie. Sign up today.
It's one thing to be aware of breast cancer. It's another to do something about it.
A great way to educate yourself about personal risk, learn about screening and treatment options, and help fight for a cure for this disease that affects 1 in 8 women in the U.S. during her lifetime is to register today for Lexington's 20th anniversary Race for the Cure.
Join Susan G. Komen, Kentucky on Saturday morning, October 1st at Robert Stevens Courthouse Plaza. For more information on breast cancer or to register for the race, visit KomenKentucky.com. Today.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy Checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So
the gin
you.
Flossoms.
You know what? Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's wait until the next segment.
Okay.
So we can at least tweet about it and get some people, you know, a chance to call in.
Okay.
And have a chance to win these tickets to the NBA exhibition game between the Wizards and Kings at Rupp Arena October 15th.
So you need to follow at ESPN Radio Lex, at MJP18, and at DReefer, RIEFFER. And we will tweet out the questions or the, yeah it's a two-parter today.
Yeah. Two-part deal. And, we'll tweet that out in between the next break. So when we go to break this next time, we'll tweet out the question and then you go to at ESPN Radio Lex.
So don't tweet it just yet, Josh.
Don't do it yet. Yeah. You prepping the tweet. Prepping the tweet. All right. So, well, one thing we didn't talk about, Derek Terry mentioned this, but, you know, defense was horrendous except for a couple things, and this was one of them right here. Derek Beatty.
Chipped away at for these long drives. Gain of 16 yards. First and goal Aggies. Rodgers to the end zone. And the game, and it's picked off. It's Derek Beatty with his second interception of the season. And I just alluded to it. Are they going to continue to bring pressure? Are they going to sit back in zone? Mark Stoops wanted his guys to have zone eyes. What does that mean? Sit back in coverage. See where Tyler Rogers is looking, where he's going with the ball. And Beatty read that one all the way.
Jordan Rogers.
That makes me want to throw up. I thought Jordan Rogers was awful. I couldn't take it. God, I couldn't take it.
I didn't think he was that bad.
There was that at one point in the second half, late in the second half, they were talking about the offense, and I forget who was doing the game with Jordan Rogers. And he said, you know, you probably like this being a quarterback. And he's like, yeah, I'm an offensive guy. And I didn't have my phone sitting right next to me, but I was going to tweet, yes, Jordan Rogers, you are an offensive guy. I just couldn't take it. Ugh, I thought he was brutal. You liked him?
I thought he was fine.
Yeah.
You know, but Derek Beatty, I wasn't so high on him during the game for quite a while. I just saw him make too many mistakes. And I think I commented to my wife right before that interception, something like, he stinks today, something. And then he makes the interception. And I said, okay, right on cue. All right. But, you know, Kentucky switched from man to zone in the second half, which was an adjustment that clearly proved to be pretty good. But otherwise, outside of that, you know, Blake McLean had the big interception after C.J. Conrad fumbled.
Yes.
Because that right there could have turned it big.
Yes. Oh, good.
So that was another big play by the defense. There were a couple others, but outside of that, it was really bad. Here's Mark Stoops' take on his defense.
Well, it wasn't good. It was a combination of things. It was I had talked all week about having a higher football IQ, and we didn't do that. Right with the first touchdown off of that split. Again, I'm not taking anything away from them, but we flat blew it, you know, and that can't happen. And we gave up, you know, that touchdown to get you off kilter, get you out of whack right from the beginning. They got some aggravating yards. You know, they were doing some things to us that we got fixed at halftime with how they were running the ball inside on us. And, you know, it's a combination of things. Right now, we've got a lot to get fixed there, but we will. When we're playing both fronts, and we're playing the Oki front, and then we're playing the over front, you know, we're searching right now. We got guys that are, you know, it gets difficult, you know, with fits and so on. I don't want to get too complex, but there's we've got to get some things ironed out, and it's getting a little bit confusing to them, even though we're trying to be simple. So we've got some inexperience there, and we've got to figure out how to get them to play better, and we got to coach them up.
You know, I think what he's trying to say there and doesn't want to say is, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so are not doing their jobs, and they're killing us.
Yeah.
I don't want to call out players for that. He shouldn't either. So, but I think that's what he's trying to say is, we got what we got, and what we got is not good enough, and we just got to bring them along and hope that they will be good enough as the season progresses.
Some aggravating yards. Some. Like 500 of them.
Well, the most frustrating, I would think, for him, the defense, the fans, was the 15-play drive that New Mexico State had for a touchdown, and 13 of those 15 plays were runs.
Yeah.
So when New Mexico and your boy, Jordan Rogers, pointed out that Kentucky was being pushed around up front, and they were. He also said the defensive line was playing tall, which means standing up. So Matt Elam's not the only one guilty of standing up.
No, but we've certainly, some of these things that they keep saying, we'll get it fixed. It's like, some of these things I can see, and I shouldn't be able to see them, mm-hmm. and week after week after week, and they're not fixed.
Well, you know, John Calipari will say all the time, especially with his young players, trying to get them to play defense. And he's probably referenced this every season since he's been here. about playing low, keeping your knees bent, and getting in defensive position, and it's uncomfortable, and you don't like to do it because it's basically like doing a wall squat, you know, for 25 seconds. If you've ever done wall squats, they're uncomfortable. So you don't want to do what's uncomfortable, so you got to force yourself to do that. Well, defensive linemen need to be down lower with leverage. If you're standing up, the offensive lineman has leverage and control of you. You can't just expect that all of a sudden you're going to throw a 300-pound guy to the side at will and make a tackle. Or part of it is they want to, you know, take out a guy, cancel that guy so that the linebackers can make a tackle. But when that guy just pushes you where he wants to.
And yet again, Matt Elam, and I, sorry that we keep calling him, or I keep calling him out, just wasn't double teamed again.
Yeah, he's a five-star guy.
You don't have to double team him. And I don't know what he has to do to get that fixed, because that's should be his strength, is that he takes up an extra guy.
Yeah. Well, when you're playing defense, you need to take it to them. Take the battle to them. Don't let the battle come to you and absorb it. You're trying to absorb it. And I think that seems to me to be one of the biggest problems. And maybe it's because when they talk about it's a bit confusing for them. Stoops said that. They got too much to think about. Maybe it's that. Maybe, you know, they're so occupied with what their assignment is supposed to be, trying not to mess up. Like Denzel Ware in the preseason said that last year he played scared, timid at times. And because he was trying to remember his assignments, he was afraid to make a mistake. Well, that's not the case for Denzel Ware anymore. But it is for many of these other guys who are playing this kind of game time, logging these kind of minutes. For the first time, you know, they just haven't played enough. I think that's what Stoops is alluding to, is we got a lot of guys who haven't played enough, and it's going to take a while for them to get better. But the biggest thing...
And I get that in year two, Dan. Yeah. I do. I get it in year two. And it's year four, so we've got to have some guys that are ready to go.
No doubt. No doubt. Have to agree on that. But the biggest thing from yesterday was, for everybody, is that Kentucky got the win. It was a relief to get a win for Mark Stoops and company.
It is. You know, there's nothing fun about it, you know, when you're losing like that. And it was tough. But, you know, we always get back to work, win or lose. You know, we're going to work the same way and have the same attitude and be positive and everything else. But it is hard. You know, there's no doubt about it. They say that it's no fun when it gets to the point where it's just relief. There's no joy in the win. It's just relief. But, you know, I know we'll get better. I really do. We got a good football team. We don't have a great football team. We have a good football team. And they'll get better. And defensively, we got a lot of things to iron out. But we'll get better.
I mean, that's kind of sad to hear when he says there's no fun and there's just relief.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, it makes the next 9 weeks seem like, you know, I don't know.
I mean, South Carolina is another.
That's a winnable game.
Yeah, it's another, I guess, it'll tell you a lot.
Yes.
It's going to tell you a lot about how you're going to move forward, how fans will feel. I mean, if you go out and lay an egg against South Carolina the way you did against Florida, or you blow a 25-point lead, then it's...
I mean, if you don't beat South Carolina, we know with 100% certainty they're not going to a bowl game. Right? I mean, pretty much.
Well, if you want to believe Mark Stoops, and we'll get better, his comments... Then, you know, they could play a lot better and beat Missouri at Missouri or beat Georgia at home. But, you know, that's not going to – come on. Saw Missouri last night, by the way. Now you think that game at Missouri looks a lot more difficult.
Man, the UK footballed that game, didn't they?
All right, we're going to go to break. During the break, We're going to put it out there on Twitter what you can do to win these tickets, two tickets, to the NBA exhibition game at Rupp Arena on October 5th between the Sacramento Kings and Washington Wizards. We'll do it next on the Dana Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Almost 4 in 10 high school seniors in Kentucky don't fill out the free application for federal student aid, the FAFSA. We asked students why that is.
I honestly have no idea what the FAFSA is.
At my high school, they don't really talk about the financial aid or FAFSA, for that matter.
Filling out the FAFSA is the first step to getting your share of $150 billion in financial aid. And it just got easier. Visit knowhowtogoky.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by the Pritchard Committee Student Voice Team and the Council on Post-Secondary Education.
It's one thing to be aware of breast cancer. It's another to do something about it.
A great way to educate yourself about personal risk, learn about screening and treatment options, and help fight for a cure for this disease that affects 1 in 8 women in the U.S. during her lifetime is to register today for Lexington's 20th anniversary Race for the Cure.
Join Susan G. Komen, Kentucky, on Saturday morning, October 1st, at Robert Stevens Courthouse Plaza. For more information on breast cancer or to register for the race, visit KomenKentucky.org today.
Treat your clothes like royalty by treating them to Emperor's Cleaners. With over 40 years of experience, Emperor's Cleaners has everything your clothes need. Fine clothiers even recommended Emperor's for brands like St. John's Knits. They specialize in same-day service. Bring in your shirts by 9 a.m., they'll be done the same day. Emperor's Cleaners is a family-run business, ensuring top-quality service. Located on Richmond Road in the Eidelauer Plaza, Emperor's Cleaners will treat you and your clothes like royalty.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you. And the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
When football is back and basketball is around the corner, why not make your game day experience an incredible dining experience as well? Come to Tony's Steaks and Seafood before or after the football game. Big screen TVs, fantastic service, wonderful atmosphere, and the best food anywhere. And during basketball at Rupp, you'll see a sign that says, "You're a minute away from the best steak you've ever had." Tony's, on Main Street, across from Triangle Park. Visit TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Quickly, Johnson rolls right, throws out of the backfield, and he's got a tight end, C.J. Conrad, who's still in bounds, and he could go the distance. Conrad's first catch of the year to the house.
Yeah, it's nice. That was huge. At the end of the day, we can talk all we want about, coming in on a Monday and after a loss and trying to, hype ourselves up, try to motivate ourselves to get a win, but nothing was going to help this team but a win. And I think that's the medicine we needed, and we got it. Now we're on the right track. We know what it feels like to win, and so hopefully we can keep it going.
You got to get the feeling.
Yeah.
You got to know the feeling of winning.
Nothing was going to help us but a win. No truer words been said by C.J. Conrad. 72 yards. I
know.
He looked lumbering, didn't he?
Like I know, but nobody got him.
Yeah, nobody caught up to him. And then I saw John Hale tweet from the Courier-Journal that one of those passes was a run play called, and Stephen Johnson went to C.J. and said, "Hey, look, be ready. I'm going to throw it to you. I'm not running it here. I'm going to throw it to you." Hey, they were just – it was amazing to see what – C.J. Conrad, the potential in him come out.
Which we've, been hoping for.
How about Greg Hart taking that hit where he got cut in half?
Yeah.
And lands on his head. With his back getting ready to flip over the other way. It had to be extremely painful on several different areas of his body.
On many levels.
And he got up. He's a football player.
Yeah.
He's a football player. Okay. We're going to give away these tickets, right?
Two tickets to the Kings Wizards, October 15th, Rupp Arena. And it's a two-part question. You have to know, A, where did Dan go to high school? And B, what is my home state?
Answer those two things and two tickets to the exhibition game to go see Boogie Cousins, Scott LaBissiere, Willie Cauley-Stein, and John Wall all together back in Rupp Arena on October 15th, the night after Big Blue Madness.
Yeah.
So who we got first? Jay. Jay, what do you say? What's the answer here?
All right, let's see. I know Mary Jo's from Minnesota.
Ding, ding, ding.
There you go.
And
I went to high school.
What?
I went to high school where?
And we have to know Dan's high school.
Where did I go to high school?
Do I get a hint?
No, you have to be a loyal listener. If you're a loyal listener of the show, I said it yesterday where I went to high school. I say it probably almost every weekend. Yeah.
Is it in Kentucky?
It is. It is in Kentucky.
Is it Meade County?
It is not Meade County.
Sorry, Jay.
All right, thanks for playing. We should have gone to Jack first. Sorry, Jack, that I didn't give you first option here to answer this question. So, Jack, go ahead. What do you think? What is Mary Jo's home state? You already got that answer from Jay. And where did I go to high school?
Oh, I knew she was. I knew she was from Minnesota anyway, but Williamsburg.
Yes!
There you go. All right. Jack, you have two tickets to go see the Wizards and Kings October 15th. And after you get off the air with us, stay on the line so that you can talk to Josh. He'll tell you what to do, get your information about getting those tickets. Because once you get them.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
thank you.
All right.
I'm going to go ahead and say it out loud. You've got to sit Matt Elam down.
Ooh.
Because he stands up.
Because he stands up.
Yeah.
I can't believe a man his size gets no push.
Yeah.
And he has no lateral movement. These kids are running off tackle, and you watch him, he just reaches for them. Mm. He doesn't dive, he just reaches. And when you have winter workout, conditioning, spring practice, fall camp, you can't iron these things out. You are what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I just cringe to think what's going to happen in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, it's...
Or Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
Actually, I really thought talking to Matt Elam in the fall camp here, I really thought that he had changed. One, the weight. So you could see him physically, he was different. But that also is an indication of his commitment and mindset to go do that, to make sure that he is in better shape. And then the way he talked, the things he said made me think, well, this kid's grown up. You know, he's not a freshman anymore. He's a junior in college. He's an adult, and he's, you know, made up his mind to be to make this his job, to make it his top priority to be a football player, because there's millions of dollars on the line for him. I mean, he's got a chance to go play football for a living and be rich. Oh, my God. I mean, is that not the dream? Is that not the dream? And so he should do whatever it takes to do that. And I don't understand it either. He's played football long enough to know that you can't stand up.
No, I mean there's no. You bend your knees and you drive. I mean, and he's useless on third down. You've got to take him out if it's a passing situation. I just don't understand a kid with that. Maybe he's overhyped because of who he played against in high school. I don't know. You're whipping 180-pound guards or tackles in high school. Maybe a little bit more weight to that, but.
Yeah, but no, he was just so much bigger than who he played against that it just he didn't have to do anything technique wise. He was just so much bigger.
Well, there's a nastiness there. Like if you've got a guy who's smaller but nastier, ready for a fist fight right there on the line, that's the guy. Reggie Mint was that kind of guy, had that kind of motor, that kind of energy, and they miss him sorely. CJ Johnson last year had that kind of energy, that kind of motor, just that nastiness.
There's an old saying, you don't know what kind of boxer you have until he gets hit in the face.
Right.
And then how do you respond?
Yeah.
I just think if you pop him, he just doesn't respond. I don't think he's aggressive.
Yeah. And up there, you need to make those offensive linemen, you know, not like having to block you. They need to. You need to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for the tickets, and have a good week.
Thank you, Jack. All right. Make sure you hang on the line here to talk to Josh. And I will say, this summer and this fall, there was a lot of things that this coaching staff hyped up.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Elam was not one of them.
They wouldn't do it.
And we've talked about that before.
They wouldn't take the bait.
And they were asked about him plenty.
And they wouldn't. Yeah, they wouldn't do it, but they wouldn't throw him under the bus either.
No, but you could read between the lines.
Yeah, there's a reason. They need his size. They need him to cancel out two guys, at least one. And the depth. Look, if they had the depth, he wouldn't be in there.
Yep.
You know, Jack says you got to sit him. You can't. You can't.
You don't think Pringle's ready?
Well, I mean, they both have to play.
Yeah, I know they both have to play.
I mean, you can't put Elam over there and leave him out. You need him. He's somebody, you know.
And Pringle did play some yesterday, too.
Yes.
You know, they were both rotated in and out.
Maybe, so. I don't know. We talked about this before. You know, Cordell Looney looks like a defensive lineman right now. He's a true freshman. They want to redshirt him. They want to redshirt Jaquiz Cross. Both of those guys are big old bodies. I would think that would help. But, I mean,
yeah.
Sit here and say all we want. I'm not a football coach. I don't know what goes on there in practice and what they look like and all that that goes into it. But they want to redshirt them. They want to have them in better shape and for a longer amount of time. You want to be able to do that in any program.
Yes.
But if you're having this much trouble, gosh, you need to get to a bowl game.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do, because that's another month of practice for
young
guys like Cordell Looney and T.J. Carter and Jaquiz Cross.
And that is really how it started, I think, with Rich Brooks.
Absolutely.
Is they were getting all that extra time.
To develop young guys. Because the bowl preparation, those bowl practices, it's not spent on the opponent.
Yeah.
It's spent developing players and keeping sharp. And then before the game, those three practices before the game, that's about the game. Because ultimately, in a, I don't know, bowl game in Detroit or Birmingham or whatever, it's not that big of a deal.
No.
What's more important is developing the players. But you've got to get to the bowl game to be able to develop players, and that's something they've got to do. They've got to have it. All right, as we go to break here, we talked about this at the top of the show, and it remains, we talked to Derek Terry from Rivals.com. I've read some articles, you know, Mark Story, John Clay. Should Stephen Johnson be the starter? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Drew Barker, whether he's healthy or not, and even if I were the coaches, even if Drew Barker was ready to go,
yes,
I would
play the injury card this week. I would really think so.
It. Yes, and just do it and just say, Drew, we can't handle any more negativity. We just can't. So we're going to say that you can't go. We know you can go. We're scoring with the hot hand here. We'll see how it plays out. That's that. So Stoops was asked about it, and obviously he did not say who's going to start.
Make
but
a decision.
Here's what his response was.
I don't know what the situation is. I'm not going to make any decision like that right now. Obviously, I have no idea. He's hurt. He's an injured back. He did go to the hospital to get it examined today.
So that's that.
Yeah,
that's it.
And I would imagine even tomorrow he's not going to come out and say, "Yeah, it's Stephen Johnson." I think they're going to say it's. Day-to-day, we'll see how Drew's does, and, you know, if it's not that serious. You know, I hope it's not.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, don't want to see.
A back injury, especially.
Right.
That's nothing to mess with, really.
No.
So.
And it's better for Kentucky if both are healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a break. 381-1313 if you want to get in here in our final segment. But as we go to break here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, enjoy this. The first kick or punt return of any kind in six years at Kentucky.
He's going to bring on the field goal team. Six punts for a 40-yard average today for Peyton Feisler. And he punts it back to Charles Walker. Walker at the 36. He's got some space inside the 50. He could take it all the way. Charles Walker, 74 yards. Touchdown.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, "I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody." Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back, and we're now helping him and his family after a terrible accident. Everybody who comes to our firm at their time of need is a somebody. I grew up poor, but my grandmother was like a queen to us. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. For right at 30 years, we have fought them in courtrooms throughout America. Our results speak for themselves. And always remember this, everybody is a somebody, and nobody is a nobody. Visit ForThePeople.com to learn about our firm. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Offices Lexington.
Here's what another satisfied customer, and from Lexington, has to say about Barkley Blevins.
They treat me like family. I've watched John grow up over the 30-plus years they've worked with me. They've replaced water heaters, sump pumps, sewer pipes, furnaces, air conditioners, toilets, and faucets. They've done it all. And I like when the technician sits and chats with me at the kitchen table while filling out the ticket. There's no one else I would trust, and you should trust them too.
Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Check them out at BarkleyBlevins.com.
Hurry to Aurora Pools and Spas for hot deals on spas to warm up the cool nights that are ahead. Check out the huge new selection to choose from, starting at just $36.95. Aurora proudly carries six industry-leading brands, now including Hot Spring. Hurry in today and shop the huge selection of spas and get the hottest deals that will warm up those cool nights in your new spa from Aurora Pools and Spas. Family-owned and operated for over 30 years in Lexington. Located at 1512 Colesbury Circle, just off New Circle Road. Call Aurora today, 299-2932.
You can trust your car to Fleet Doc.
Most families and businesses have a fleet of vehicles, and everyone needs a vehicle doctor they can trust. At Fleet Doc, we are a trusted vehicle doctor. From oil changes to complete engine replacements, Fleet Doc does it all, and at fleet prices. See them for all your service needs, and tire inspections are always free on Contract Street near Greens Toyota or at fleet-doc.com.
Fleet Doc's got the
code.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter.
A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I don't know if you heard what Nick Saban said yesterday. Ole Miss, they beat Ole Miss. It was, you know, snap.
Finally beat Ole Miss. Yeah, jeez.
Two-game losing streak. Ole Miss was up three scores on them, I think.
I know, yeah. They were.
And Alabama comes back to win it and shows that it's still number one. But afterward,
and Damian Harris had a
144 yards, a touchdown, averaged 9 yards per carry.
Yeah, he looked good.
He had that big run.
Yeah.
Just looked great.
And he was trucking people. I wish they'd have given him that touchdown.
Yeah. And so afterward, Nick Saban said, I guess it was hot, you know, humid, nasty down there in Oxford. And so Saban said some of the players needed an IV. Coaches needed an IV. He said, this old fella didn't need an IV because they don't make them like they used to anymore. That is so Saban. So Nick Saban. Troy beat Southern Miss 37-31 in the battle of ex-UK offensive coordinators. You know, people have mentioned Neil Brown as someone they would like to see at Kentucky as the head coach. Western Kentucky beat Miami 31-24. Jeff Brohm is someone people would like to see as the next head coach of Kentucky. And then we mentioned South Carolina beat East Carolina. It was 17-3 after the first quarter. It wound up being 20-15, and East Carolina's guy had 22 catches, one shy of the NCAA record.
You know, I saw on Twitter and Facebook yesterday who else a lot of Kentucky fans seem to have wanted to be their coach.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Bobby Petrino is the name I saw come up a couple. a couple hundred times yesterday. Oh, we could have had Petrino.
I got a direct message from somebody who said, quote, we could have had this staff and Lamar, but we're too busy looking for ambassadors.
Who?
I responded back and, well, I'm not going to say exactly what I said, but I said, good thing. My message was, I think I would rather see Kentucky not be good at football than have Bobby Petrino as coach. That may not be popular, but review Bobby Petrino and what he's done, how he left Louisville, what situation he left them in, what he did at the Atlanta Falcons, leaving in the middle of the night. There was a note. Was there even a note on the Falcons' lockers? Maybe something, but he didn't say goodbye to the players. He just left. Without finishing the season, 13 games in, into the hire. They hired him to be the head coach, and 13 games, he goes, don't like it. Hires a lady to work in the football office that he has an affair with, wrecks a motorcycle with, lies about it, tries to cover it up. Not to mention...
And he's won everywhere, Dan.
Not to mention the way he treats people. Not to mention the way he treats people. Look, it's fine for Louisville. They had him the first time. Tom Jurich wants to put up with whatever he wants to put up with. He's happy now. Happy with it now, but I'm not an end justifies the means all the time guy. Mm-hmm. Just not. You need to be a good person, I think. I think Mark Stoops is definitely a good person. There's no doubt about that. It doesn't matter if he doesn't win, but I'm not trading wins for just, bad guy. But since we're on the topic of Louisville.
But Lamar Jackson right now, there is.
146 yards, 4 touchdowns rushing, 216 yards and a touchdown passing. Michael Vick tweeted, Lamar Jackson 5 times better than I was at Virginia Tech. Enough said. 18 touchdowns through 3 games. I mean, that's 60 touchdowns per game. 6 touchdowns per game so far.
He's got more touchdowns than 115 of the 128 FBS schools. And he's electrifying.
He is. Here's the deal, though. He's not it. He is not it for Louisville. That's why they've got a chance to be ranked number 2 in the country this week. Jair Alexander had 2 60-yard punt returns, including a 69-yarder for a touchdown. Brandon Radcliffe ran for 118 yards and a touchdown. James Quick had 7 catches for 122 yards. Cardinals defense had 5 sacks, forced 2 turnovers, held FSU to 284 yards and basically 10 points.
Yeah.
Until the Seminoles, added 10 more late. FSU's Dalvin Cook, Heisman Trophy candidate. This was 2 Heisman guys, Lamar Jackson and Dalvin Cook. Cook, 54 yards on 16 carries. Lamar Jackson's got nothing to do with that. That's Louisville's defense. 3.37 yards per carry.
They completely...
Lamar Jackson just takes it to another level.
It's funny when you see the score be 63-20 and you say, it wasn't that close. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even that close.
Whew. Whew, they're so good. Boston College got blanked 49-0 by Virginia Tech. Patrick Toles, 9 for 28. 9 for 28 for 80 yards and an interception. He tied for Boston College's leading rusher in the game with 17 yards on 5 carries.
It's the most anemic offense in college football it has been for a little while.
LSU held on to beat Mississippi State 23-20. Did you see the stiff arm that Leonard Fournette threw? Where he basically put a guy 6 feet under the ground with one arm. Tennessee beat Ohio 28-19.
And game day is Tennessee, Florida next week.
Tennessee is going to be without Cam Sutton. Defensive back. Great player. Looks like he's done. Think about if UK were to lose Chris Westry as a senior after he's gotten some awards and accolades and all that.
Yeah.
So it's tough knock for Tennessee. Tennessee, Florida next week, game day. Is that what you said?
Yes. Yes.
North Dakota State. Knocks off number 13, Iowa.
The Bison! Now, see, we know my home state is Minnesota.
Yeah.
But
right next door is...
North Dakota, and most people from my high school, a lot of them went to North Dakota State. Because it's not just up there in Fargo. It's about 90 miles away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't say.
Yeah. So, pretty proud of them.
Six times in a row now, North Dakota State has beaten an FBS school. They've gotten more than $2 million in pay for going and beating these schools.
And game day's gone there twice.
Yeah.
My
favorite one, though, is yesterday, Western Michigan got paid $1.2 million to go to Illinois and beat them by 24. Poor Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith, my man.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot he was. Ugh, what a brutal place to be a coach.
Charlie Strong got beat and got robbed yesterday. Late last night, number 11 Texas lost to Cal, 50-43. Cal is going in for a touchdown to ice it. The guy drops the ball before he crosses the goal line. Texas picks up the ball. Officials call it dead. Give the ball to Cal at the 1 yard line. They kneel down. It's over. Otherwise, they would have had the ball with a minute 20 left, and at the 25 yard line and down 7. So
brutal.
That's it. All right. Thanks for listening this weekend. We really appreciate it. We'll be back next weekend on the Dan and Mary Joe Show
on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Mike and Mike.
Mike and Doug Baldwin, the Seahawks. Wow, Russell Wilson had.